So we're in Psalm 100, so what I'd like you to do is turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. We're just going to read one verse there. And in this first chapter of Romans, Paul drills down to the very heart of sin. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Do forgive me for not having a Bible up front. When your eyes start going, you need to have the font really big. And I haven't come across a Bible that's got a big enough font. But on the tablet, I can make it go as big as I like. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. A thankless heart, it isn't just a problem. According to the Apostle Paul, thanklessness, being unthankful, is a sin against God. It's not just a symptom. And he says every kind of evil begins there, at the door of thanklessness. Francis Schaeffer, in his book True Spirituality, wrote this. He said, a heart giving thanks at any given moment is the real test of the extent to which we love God at that moment. Thanking God is loving God. Thanksgiving to God is not an optional add-on to our Christian lives. The Christian life can't be lived without thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God isn't an optional add-on to our Christian life. We can't live healthy Christian lives without giving thanks to God. It's a real shame that we don't sing the hymn, "When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed." Have you sung that one recently here? I asked at one church and they'd sung it the week before. I wanted you to remember the refrain, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. See, I think we've become a little bit presumptuous. We assume God's goodness. We're not thankful. You've probably picked up, I have an accent. I didn't have an accent before I moved to this country. In Xhosa culture, Nelson Mandela, he was a Xhosa. In Xhosa culture, they don't say thank you. They show thank you. And what they do is they cup their hands like this when they receive something from you. And what their actions are saying, they're saying, look, I don't have anything in there. I have nothing. And now you are giving me something. You are curing my need by giving me what I need. Your gift is filling me up. It's a beautiful picture of giving thanks. But giving thanks is hard sometimes. It's not easy to thank God with a broken heart or in a tragic diagnosis. It's not easy to thank God in the depths of our anxiety and our depression. It's not easy to thank God in the middle of the night when you can't sleep and you don't know what's coming tomorrow, but you worry that it's more than you can bear. And that's the point of the hymn that we looked at a little bit earlier. It says things like this: when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Does the cross seem heavy? You are called to bear. Count your many blessings, every dart will fly. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Now in the Bible does it say that thanking God is easy? But also nowhere in the Bible does it say that thanking God is optional. It's not a practice reserved only for the good times. Thankfulness is a spiritual discipline that is necessary at all times. Thankfulness should be at the heartbeat of who we are as Christians. Jesus is my Savior. This one's not popular, but Jesus is my Lord. He is mine because I am His. J.I. Packer, the author of Knowing God, wrote this. Knowing God is a great book. If you're up for a challenge, I recommend Little Doses. It's a great book. He wrote this. Do I as a Christian understand myself? Do I know my own real identity? My own real destiny? Listen to this. I am a child of God. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Every day is one day nearer. My Savior is my brother. Every Christian is my brother too. He says, say it over and over again to yourself, first thing in the morning, last thing at night, as you wait for the bus, any time when your mind is free, and ask that you may be enabled to live as one who knows it all utterly and completely true. For this is the Christian's secret of the Christian life, of a God-honoring life. Being thankful and remembering who we are. See, that's worth giving thanks for, isn't it? Psalm 100 tells us that we should ask this of the Lord. Make us Psalm 100 people. If you're into headings and taking notes, that's the first heading. Make us Psalm 100 people. The Bible says, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. If there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That's Philippians 4 verse 8. That means, I'm sure, that we shouldn't be thinking about stuff that isn't worthy of praise. That means watch what you watch. You are what you watch. You are what you listen to. You are what you read. If there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Psalm 100 tells us something worthy of praise. It's a classic psalm of thanksgiving. I love the heading, because it tells you what it's all about. We need to be careful. Most of the headings in the Bible aren't inspired. They're there to help us, to aid us. But here's a heading that the author of the psalm said, this is what the psalm is all about. It's a great clue. It makes it easier to preach. It makes it easier for us to understand. It helps us know we're on the right track. So we're going to start in the middle of Psalm 100, verse 3, because it shows us the basis or the foundation. The reason for our thanksgiving, and it's this, our God is the only God. Our God is the only God. It all begins there in verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. Full stop. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. The only true God is ours by grace in Christ. We are His people, His very own creation. See, we need to let that sink in a little bit. We know it, but we forget it. I think that's our problem as Christians. It's the problem with Israel. They're told over and 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 over, remember, 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 remember. See, children know that they need to brush their teeth before they go to bed. They know that, but somehow they always manage to forget. Is that right? Tucking your grandchildren in bed, tucking your children to bed. They go to bed. Have you brushed your teeth? No. Can I skip? Shh. Brush your teeth. That's not my boys. They brush their teeth every night. God is the one true God. We know that, but we forget that. God is ours by grace in Jesus. We know that. We are His people. We know that, but we forget it. Don't forget it. Can I say remember and remind? Remember that yourself and remind others. I have a number of Anglican friends or in ministry. Whenever they greet you, they say brother. Well, they don't say brother. The bit that annoys me is they go bro. Hi, bro. But it is a great reminder of who I am. I am their brother and I'm a child of God. Can we do that? Greet somebody? Just say, hello, Dennis. The Lord is our Father. Remember, hello Dennis, hello Chris. The Lord loves you. He saved you. See, God, the one true living God, didn't just plop people here on earth and then retreat to heaven to see how things worked out. He is involved in every detail in our lives, the good and the bad, and he knows our sins and our successes. He's our good shepherd who takes care of us and watches over us. And even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's so he can take us to the green pastures and still waters we long for. On the way here, a car swerved into our lane and I had to move out the way. Got a puncture, had a stop on the side of the road. Another car stopped behind us. And out jumped a man with the registration of the car that was in our lane. He said, "I'm a Christian, I'm on my way to church." He said, "I'm a Christian, I'm on my way to preach." See, God was in that. And we aren't the first people to experience this kind of thing. The Bible is filled with those who have come before us bearing witness to these truths. God has been faithful for generations. Throughout history, God has never, ever, not once disappointed anyone who really trusted in him. And he's not going to start with you. You say, "Well, how do we know that? Grant, how do you know that?" Well, I say to you, do you believe God's word? See, you can believe it. You must believe it. There is no higher authority. Pope Leo is not God's mouthpiece. He isn't. God's own word is God's mouthpiece. It speaks for itself. God says in Psalm 100 verse 5, "The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness endures to all generations. Now there's something to give thanks for. Don't you think? Something to give thanks for. See, these three truths from Psalm 100, God's goodness, God's love, God's faithfulness, find their ultimate expression in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. For all God's promises find their yes in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 tells us. And what that means is that every promise in the Bible, every single promise that God made, every hope in the Bible that God gave, and every joy in the Bible that God promised, find their yes in Jesus. Yes, life is still hard, life still hurts, but in Christ, even death is now, what is death in the eyes of a Christian world? It's just a portal to a better world with him. Romans 8 verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. We have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15. We've been rescued. Jesus is the reason for our greatest thanks. We can give thanks in even the hard stuff, because no matter how hopeless today may seem, there is hope for tomorrow. Ray Ortmund said it like this: God has designed reality in such a way that we praise our way into a better future. Thanksgiving moves us closer to God's heart and a better tomorrow. We thank God because of who God is. We thank God because he loves and cares for us. We thank God because in him our future is incredibly bright. As Christians, we can say things are going to get better. Can I say they might get worse before they get better, but they will get better. Remember Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. If there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. God is worthy of praise. Psalm 100, people thank God, not because we're told to, but because he has proven himself good and just and true and loving and everything else that we need the most. He is worthy of praise. So how can we not be thankful? Remind yourself. Remind others. And then the psalm tells us we need to make a joyful noise. Psalm 100, people, take that knowledge of God and we internalize it. And when we do that, we find our joy bursting out. It's like a fizzy drink that's been shaken. My boys went through a stage where they'd pass each other a drink after having shaken it a little bit. Not in the car, please. And when it starts spraying, you just can't get the lid on, can you? It's impossible to stop. Bursting out, giving thanks to God includes rejoicing in God. Now, I might get into trouble for this. I think what the psalm is telling us is that we need to be very un-English. That we need to act out of character. I'm a British South African. We need to be very un-English, but very Christian. Remember, we're Christian before we're English. And part of being thankful, the psalm is telling us, is letting loose. Those are words we're not very comfortable with. Our thanksgiving can sometimes be just a little bit too reserved. Remember how David let loose as the Ark of the Covenant entered Jerusalem. Remember how Miriam led the women in singing and dancing with tambourines after God saved them from Egyptian slavery. Remember how the crowd let loose as Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And when Jesus opened the curtains to give the Apostle John a glimpse, a revelation into heaven, what is heaven doing? Heaven, in slang, is letting loose. See, we can let those around us affect the way we thank God. After all, we don't want to downplay pain and sorrow with seemingly shallow thanksgiving. We don't want to put on an act. No, we definitely don't. But thanking God is never shallow. I wonder if you've ever seen a beaming, excited child run to their parents with their arms wide open, give them a great big hug, and just shout, bursting out from their mouth, "Thank you!" I wonder if you've ever seen something like that and thought, well, okay, that's enough. No need to be all showy about it. Make a joyful noise. Thanksgiving is uncontained and it is explosive. It should be unrestrained about Him. Not about how I look, good or bad. It's not about looking spiritual or copying those around you. It's about Him. It's all about you, Jesus. The first verse of Psalm 100 takes us to the heart of this exuberant thanksgiving. Shout for joy to the Lord all the earth. See, we might know it from an older translation in the hymn, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And the meaning here isn't that we should come up to God, look Him square in the eyes, shake His hand, and then say with a mild and firm, thank you. No, it means that we should erupt. We should erupt. We need to get over our reservations and let loose, and not just every now and then. A joyful noise is loud and raucous. It's like an underdog football team at home against a big name rival. The underdog wins. The crowd goes mad. The band plays and dances. The fans storm the field. It's impossible not to smile. It's an unexpected victory, just like our Savior, just like our salvation in Christ. That's a joyful noise. A joyful noise was how ancient Israel welcomed their king. Psalm 100, people parade into church celebrating the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Exalting Jesus as King. We come in rowdy, that's going to make you feel uncomfortable, and ready to party. The big game has been won on the cross. His resurrection proved it. We're on the winning side. And now we're in that in-between time, basking in the afterglow of the victory before the big party later on. And we can't stop thinking about that final kick that sealed the game. We keep replaying it in our minds and telling everyone we see, that's a joyful noise. So give thanks, celebrate what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. God is taking action. It is worthy of praise. We're participated. But we're more like invested spectators than players. Now, I'm not saying we need to have disorderly worship. I'm not saying we need to go crazy and dancing in the aisles and do those sorts of things. We need to have orderly worship, respectful worship. I think how we apply this is we sing with all our heart. Let loose with your voice. Sing loud. Don't worry about the person next to you who's going to think, oh, they're out of tune. Just go for it. Let loose. If you are thankful to God, praise Him with your voice. You will encourage the person next to you, even though they might not sit next to you next week. They will be encouraged. Sing loudly. You shouldn't need your hearing aids. You should take them out. That's what I'm saying. Then the psalm tells us that we need to serve with gladness. Thanksgiving has an outward shape as our inward soul rejoices. People who are filled with thanksgiving to God serve. And how do Psalm 100 people serve the Lord? Well, verse 2 tells us, it says, worship the Lord with gladness, come before Him with joyful songs. Now, it's harder to see in the NIV because the NIV, the new one, uses the word worship, where a better translation probably is actually serve. Worship isn't a bad translation because it's worshipful, thankful service that is in mind. When joy captures our heart, our hands should start moving. We aren't lazy. We are hard workers because we know whom we serve, and that makes all the difference. Psalm 100 people don't view serving God as a chore, but as a privilege. Yes, I get to put my name on the rotor. We serve the Lord with gladness, out of response to His goodness. As we serve, we thank Him for the privilege. Thank you, Lord, that I get to serve you. You see, thanksgiving changes duty into delight. Psalm 1, back to the football. I don't usually have so many football illustrations. If you don't like football, I do apologize. Psalm 100 people are like the underdog football team before the big game against the league favorites. It's like the underdogs, Manchester United or Spurs, playing against Champions League hopefuls Nottingham Forest. United have, sorry, my dig at United, they got less than half of Liverpool's points this season. United and Spurs are up for a very hard time. Nothing about their next 90 minutes is going to be easy. It'll demand them giving everything, 100%. Nothing left in the change room. It'll hurt and it'll be hard. We have to get dirty, we have to get sweaty, and we have to get bloody. And so what? So we run out onto the field, a field where Psalm 100 people know we don't belong. We're not there based on our own merit. But here we are, loved by God, ready to serve out of sheer gladness, thankfulness, worship. See, God doesn't need us. God doesn't need you to grow Milford Baptist Church, or to grow our community witness, or to reach the lost, or to help one another grow closer to Him. He doesn't need us, but He gives us the privilege to serve Him because He is generous. So serving with thankful worship. And then, but not dependent on our service, maybe God in His goodness will grant Milford Baptist Church gospel fruit for many, many years to come. There are a number of jobs, tasks in a church that are really difficult. One is being the safeguarding person. The other is the person who's in charge of rotors. delight them. This morning, if you have space on the road, just go to that person and say, I want to do more. Be wise and smart. Don't burn yourself out. Prayerfully get serving. And then Psalm 2 tells us to come with songs and praise. Psalm 100 tells us to come with songs and praise. The second part of verse 2 tells us to come into his presence with singing. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Giving thanks to God includes singing praise to God. And this means we come with a song of praise on our lips to God. We sing about what we delight in. That's why so many pop culture songs are about love and lovers. Psalm 100 people sing loudly to God because they delight in him. Verse 4, we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. A Bible scholar explains it like this. He said, the simplicity of this invitation may conceal the wonder of it. For the courts are truly his, not ours, and his gates are shut to the unclean. Yet not only his outer courts, but the Holy of Holies itself is thrown open by the new and living way. And we are welcome. See, we have unrestricted access to God in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. I wish this was my own. I love this quote by Timothy Keller. Timothy Keller writes this. Listen to how profound this. He says, the only person who dares wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is who? His child. And we have that kind of access to God. That's the kind of thing that's worth singing about. So then how do we get this kind of admission into God's courts? We come not on our own merit, but through Christ's. Remember, we're at the great banquet of Luke 14. We are the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. We are blessed, and we can't repay our holy host. And all we can do is thank him. All we can do is enter in amazement that of all the places we could be and should be, we can be in the presence of God. In the presence of God Almighty. And more than that, he has adopted us as his children. Jesus' blood seals our fate, and his Holy Spirit is our guarantee. The Father himself loves you. And if we have the Father's love, we have everything we'll ever need because he is a good Father. Giving thanks gives us eyes to see the goodness of God. And when we see the goodness of God, we can't help but thank him for who he is and what he has done in our lives. Seth Schluter was 2024's best new Christian artist. He said this, we wanted to write a song to encourage the body of Christ to always give gratitude, give thanksgiving, and give praise to God for all the blessings that he has poured into our lives. And so he wrote the song, Counting My Blessings. Here are some of the lyrics. Seeing all the things you've done, I can't even add them up. 1, 2, 3, up to infinity. I'd run out of numbers before I could thank you for everything. God, I'm still counting my blessings for all that you've done in my life. The more that I look in the details, the more of your goodness I find. Father, on this side of heaven, I know that I'll run out of time. But I will keep counting my blessings, knowing I can't count that high. And I know that seasons never last forever. So God, I will remember all of the reasons. My heart has to be grateful. All the times you've been faithful to me. I like that. I find that really encouraging. But there's even a better way of putting it. Let me read the better way of putting it to you. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's pray.